episode 1089 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, January 21st. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy or support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider, or you can just paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohanaware at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Start off the show tonight, I want to give a very warm welcome to the Ohana. I want to say welcome to the show. Glad to have you on board. Got a great show lined up for you. It's like the reporters waited to the end of the week to give me like the mother load. So I've got a lot of tech to share tonight. I don't know if I'm going to be able to even get through it all. So lots of stuff to share as we're heading into the weekend. And of course, for those of you that are about ready to see Snowmageddon coming in the East Coast, nothing better than having a podcast to kind of cuddle up to here for the next, next hour or so, as it's snowing outside if you're in one of those areas. So here's what you need to do if you haven't done it already. If the power is still on, which I hope you're not listening to this show after the power has went out, I hope you have charged all your devices. I hope that you have, put extra batteries in for your little backup batteries, made sure those were full of juice. You know, you got to have the gadgets 100% charged, because when the juice goes out, even if it's an hour or a day, you're going to need that extra power in those devices. And, if it looks like it's going to be a long haul, if you get the power outage early in the snowstorm, it's best to limit data usage. So it's advisable to have downloaded a lot of podcasts before the storm hits. But I want you all be safe out there and don't take any unnecessary risk as the snow is about to hit for you. Of course, they're saying 18 to 24 inches or whatever it is. You know what it's probably going to do? For those of you that are watching, it's probably going to snow about an inch and be done. And you're all like, woohoo, let's go shopping. But no, just be safe out there. But for the rest of the country and world, thank you for being here. And of course, again, a very warm welcome to the Ohana, the longtime listeners and viewers of this show. If you're brand new, don't worry. You're considered part of the Ohana too, just by listening to this show. Everyone is welcome. Hey, one thing I want to make sure that you are aware of, if you're brand new, to get over to the website at geeknewscentral.com. Those of you that are watching live tonight, you can also watch the show today, live.geeknewscentral.com. We're up on YouTube Live. We're up on Livestream. We're up on Blab. So the folks that are trickling in on Blabs, hello, hello, hello. And I hope that the audio is coming through okay. But again, get over to geeknewscentral.com. You can subscribe to the show via the iTunes link on the website, or if you're an Android user, subscribe on Androids there, one click away from subscribing to the show there. If you're old school and want to get the show via email, you can do that as well. There's a way to subscribe to the show via email. Or if you just have a regular RSS podcatcher, all you got to do is add our RSS feed that has been in the same place for 10 years straight. And if you're totally confused, we've got the ability for you to click on a little button there. It says more subscribe options, and that'll give you details on what to do. Of course, we want you to get part of the newsletter. The newsletter, it can come later, but there's a newsletter link on the website as well. And while you're on Geek News Central, don't be afraid to look around a little bit. We're going to have lots of content piling in there. I'm a little bit behind the eight ball. I'll talk a little bit about that here in a second on getting some of the content up from CES. But as always, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. You can also follow me on Google Plus, on Facebook. You can listen to this show on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to listen to basically play the latest episode of the Geek News Central podcast. You can watch on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku or Apple TV. You can listen on Stitcher. You can watch or listen on Blueberry.com. And of course, we want to give a shout out to all our partner shows, No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Elder Divide with Tan Ani, the ProGear.Guru site. Definitely get over there when you're looking for gear and new stuff that's coming out in this marketplace. But more importantly, I want you all to stop right now. Listen. Listen carefully. Quit talking to the kids. Quit talking to your wife or your significant other, your husband, whatever it may be. There's a new top-level domain out, and there's a land rush, and I hope you're not too late. So what I want you to do right now, I'm not kidding, right now, open up a tab in your browser or open up a Safari in your iOS device or open up Chrome or whatever you're using in your Android and go to GoDaddy.com right now. Type in your surname, in other words, your family name. In my instance, I would type in Cochran.family@GoDaddy.com. And register your .family's domain right now before it's gone. Okay? I'm sure that many of you that have common last names, they're probably long gone. But those busted open yesterday. And I hope it's not too late for you. But that new top-level domain, .family, is going to be a hot one. Set your family's legacy in place now. Own the hottest domain. It's going to be really something that will pass down many, many, many generations. If you can score it now, do it. And, of course, don't buy it without using one of my promo codes. Now, you may not be able to actually utilize the one of my promo codes for savings in this instance, but we still want you to go over to geeknewscentral.com after you've got it in the register. And geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, grab my 99cent.com promo code, put it in there on the checkout page, and at least I'll get ticked for the use of the code. Won't make no money off this one, but you got to get your .family domain now. So, you know, GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here at the show and taking care of me, keeping the lights on, keep my family fed. So lock in your .family that top-level domain now. So, and if it's gone, I'm sorry. I should have thought about it yesterday and tweeted it yesterday, but maybe the world's been asleep a little bit, and maybe the folks that sit on domains haven't picked them up. But I bet you the .smiths and the .smith.family and jones.family and those types of real super common names are probably long, long gone. But give it a try, see if it's there, and if you can get a alteration of it that's close, that's probably cool. But I got alerted to it via an email that came in, believe it or not, from another register, which will go unnamed. But it reminded me to keep an eye on these new top-level domains to make sure I was paying attention to them. So that, and you know, another thing too is you can buy a .family that's maybe not part of your regular family, but maybe a group or an organization or something like that. Lots and lots and lots of new .level domains coming out. Of course, hosting accounts, whether it be shared, WordPress managed, whether it be a WordPress builder, 30% off codes, all can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Get over there, use my codes, keep my lights on, keep my family fed. And we do appreciate GoDaddy for being the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast in the universe by being with us for 11 straight years. Okay, so let me just kind of catch you guys up here real quick. If you haven't been over to blueberry.com and clicked on the Explore button, something truly remarkable over there. As of this exact moment, we're up to 257,195 shows in blueberry.com. We know about by about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock tomorrow, we will be done with our first run-through. And Angela's been keeping me abreast of what's going on, is the number of feeds that were dead. We, and I'll tell you here, this is a little bit of a secret. I don't know if we're going to make it to 300,000. We knew that we had about 308,000 entries to insert into the directory, and I don't know if we're going to make it just because of the number of dead feeds, but we're going to go back and look at all that stuff that was rejected and do another run through. But we might make it to 280. I would suspect maybe 290. I was hoping to bust over 300, but it will be what it will be. And we're excited to really give Android users a place to really have a home that they have never had before in order to find shows to be able to, again, one-click subscribe on and get subscribed. So I'm really excited about that, and the claiming process for shows that weren't already members will start, actually it's already started on the website where people can claim, but we'll start emailing people and letting them know that they can claim their listings, but along with details of what we're up to. Along with that, you would just not believe the calls that I've had this week. They have been, if you'd have told me 11 years ago when I started doing this show that I would be talking to some of the people I've been talking to, it's simply incredible. I mean, simply incredible. I mean, my appointment calendar has been literally full, and I've had two Bluetooth headsets that I've had to recharge. I've had this on the battery pack almost all week just to keep up. It's been a pretty amazing week. It really has. My name got dropped in a couple of major articles. Got a lot of attention for us. I can tell where people that are important, what they read by the response I get from a mention in a magazine or in an article. By far, the folks at Digiday, huge readership over there, and the type of people that you want to meet and talk to, really simply incredible. Then another one, Rain, got mentioned a couple of places in Rain recently, and of course confidentiality. We're doing deals with these folks, signing agreements. I can't say, big news ahead. That's all I will. Big announcements ahead, and the partners we're bringing on board. Also, on a personal note, tomorrow going to a buddy of mine's retirement ceremony. A gentleman that I've known for many years and a close friend of the family. My wife and his wife are friends, so we'll be going to a retirement tomorrow on the USS Missouri. And then for a cake and ice cream and probably barbecue and beers later. So it should be fun. One thing that we've just launched too, and one of our new team members put this together, we actually launched a brand new template for rawvoice.com. And I'm really proud of what the team put together there. And if you get a chance just to kind of show you guys what we're doing in the space, go over to rawvoice.com and look at our new page layout. It needs a few tweaks. I need to put some hyperlinks in and some stuff like that. But I'm really pleased with this new template, and it's got that clean, modern look. What else? Been beta testing the PowerPress site's new template, which you'll see on Geek News Central very soon. This template, we've spent an inordinate amount of time getting ready, and I'm going to be leaving completely on Geek News Central the Genesis platform. I will be abandoning it and probably never ever coming back. We've accomplished everything that we wanted to accomplish in a template that is going to be the envy of the space for our new PowerPress sites offering that is going to be launching soon, and people will get to see the template first on my website. I got this opportunity, and for those of you who know, I between layouts on Geek News Central has always been a little bit of a, 2-3 years I go with the design, and I'm real anal about it. But this is the first time where I've been able to tell, can you just tweak this a little bit and tweak that just a little bit, and can I get this option? And it doesn't come cheap. But it's got everything just kind of, it's a podcaster's dream to be able to have a template designed from the ground up that has nothing to do with anything else but podcasting and blogging, and I'm just jazzed. I can't wait to show this off, and we're not going to make that available. It's not going to be a only our customers are going to get it that actually are using our stuff. And I told the team, I said, that template alone, you know, I would suspect, based on it alone, we'll probably get 500 customers just because the people want to use the template. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But anyway, I'm digressing too far off the path here. For those of you that are new to the show, this show, we take 10, 15, 16, 17 minutes at the beginning of the show, every show. And we've done it from the day one when I started this in October 2004 to really kind of talk with the audience. Oh, I should bring myself back center here. To talk with the audience about what's going on. So if you're new and you're not used to my format, this is just the way it is. And we're a big family here, and we have discussions, and we have feedback with the show, and that's what it's really kind of all about. So we got a few people on Blab tonight, and I will not be taking any people jumping in to talk on the Blab, but this is my solo show that I do twice a week, every Monday and Thursday night here in Hawaii, starting around 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time. So thanks for joining me. Feel free to comment. I'll watch you guys on the Blab chat. And Bill, how you doing? Oliver, thanks for jumping in. Glad to see you on the in watching tonight. Thanks for staying up late. Or did I just catch you still awake? That was probably more the case. All right, so administrative stuff here and chit-chat is over. I'm going to jump right into the stack of stuff. And I read an article today that was on motherboard.vice.com. And the more I read, the madder I got. And I guess I should have realized this was happening. And quite frankly, I'll be honest, we should have talked about this before. And I don't think we have. But we're going to need, all of us are going to need an ad blocker for our next TVs, or maybe for one that we have right now. Smart TVs, and those of you on Blab, I'm sorry you can only see partial of the screen, but until they give me a 16:9, you don't get to see the full article unless you come over to live.geeknewscentral.com and watch this on YouTube. But you're going to need an ad blocker for your next TV. Smart TVs are evidently so smart now that they can tell what's playing on the screen and show you pop-up ads, yes, on your... I want to cuss, but I can't. They're going to start doing pop-up ads based on what you're watching. So I'm not talking here about getting a advertisement on Hulu or one of those other services that drops an ad in the content. I'm talking about you watching a movie, and all of a sudden the movie's shrinking a little bit, and they pop up an ad for you based upon what you're watching. Now, the first time I have a smart TV that does that to me while I'm streaming anything, maybe that would be a good YouTube video as I'm watched destroying it. But security researcher Paul McMillan this week was watching Inglourious Basterds on his Samsung smart TV. 1 minute into the movie, an army recruitment ad popped up on the screen. Now, pop-up ads on Samsung and other smart TVs have been discovered before, but the weird thing here is that the TV can seemingly recognize any input played through it and ads on top. And what's more, the ads can be targeted based on content recognition, a sort of built-in Shazam for ads. But McMillan was watching the movie through an Amazon Fire set-top box. And as an experiment, he tried playing with it. So he unplugged the Amazon Fire, plugged in his laptop via HDMI, played the same movie, and in both cases, the Army ad appeared at the one-minute mark, leading him to just decide that the ad was being served by Samsung and that the internet-connected TV was using content recognition to show ads on top of any video coming through the TV's input. Okay, here's what we've done, and this is where we all need to be very, very vocal when we see this type of crap happening as it occurs on our television sets. We need to take a picture of it. We need to tweet it with the hashtag of the company involved, and we need to make their ears bleed. Because what you've done is, and what's happening here, is you're using a set-top box, You have paid for Amazon Prime. You have paid for Netflix. You have paid for Hulu. Sure, Hulu might run some ads. It depends on the service, right? Watch some Crackle movies. You're expecting them to give you an ad because guess what? That's how they stay in business. But if you paid for the service, you've cut the cord, you're no longer carrying the cable people, and all of a sudden your smart TV decides to be smart and serve you an ad. I paid for my television, and I paid for the smart TV, and I paid for the box, and I paid for the subscription, and you SOBs are going to show me an ad? I'm sorry. This is wrong. Now, there is an antidote. It appears you have to dig deep into the settings of the Amazon Smart the Samsung Smart TV. And you got to go find the privacy settings, and you have to disagree to all the privacy settings. And that apparently is enough to get it stopped from listening to what is being played. Now, the next question is, what's going to happen when you and your wife have a fight? You and your wife have adult relations. When you and your wife are talking about getting pregnant, when you and your wife or you and your girlfriend are talking, whatever you're talking, is your TV listening to you? And then sending that data back and said, oh man, Todd and Choco, we're in a fight. Or, you know, Susie and John were talking about having their next baby. Or Nancy and Tom were, having time together. Whatever it may be, and sending that data back to and then targeting us with materials on our television sets. Is that where we're headed? Where our TVs are spying on us? Now, it's not just Samsung. Apparently, LG and Vizio have also got attention lately for tracking viewers. These folks are so desperate to make money and to be able to market to us that we are going to get to the point where the only choice we're going to have is to unplug. To basically, when we're not using our devices, to unplug the television and make sure that they're not snooping on us. Now, maybe I'm taking this too far, but maybe I'm not. You know, Samsung found itself in hot water in February last year when reports circulated that the company's privacy policy, again, allowed smart TV voice recognition feature to listen in on your conversation and turn those words into text and, again, send that data to third party. So it's already happened with Samsung. Around that same time, Samsung was inserting pop-up Pepsi ads directly into third-party streaming apps. The company eventually admitted that pop-ups were part of an ad partnership with Yahoo that was supposed to be opt-in, but wound up serving ads without permission. There's some movie I watched several years ago that basically it was just a big commercial. They had a little bit of entertainment, like 2 minutes of entertainment and 10 minutes of commercial, and 2 minutes of entertainment and 10 minutes of commercial. That's, you had to do that in order to watch your 10-minute program over an hour or whatever it was. And it was, it's one of those things that was really kind of off the hook, but are we there yet? I don't know. So please, please, please dig around in the settings of your smart TV. Dig around and see what you can do to opt out of this crap so that Samsung's not listening to you in your intimate conversations with your family. It's just, come on. It's creepy, The phone's tracking stuff is bad enough, and all the apps can I have. Have you guys noticed too on browsers? Now every time I load a browser on my desktop, FedEx, like I loaded FedEx the other day, FedEx wants your location, and I'm like, why does FedEx? I'm a customer of FedEx. They know my point of origin is shipping. Why does FedEx need to know my browser's location? asking me, you know, like, okay, maybe if I was on a mobile app, you can tell me where the closest FedEx is, but no. And so many apps now, or so many browsers are now asking for permission on, can you tell me where you're located? You know, this is what I say to those folks when they ask me for that information. I give them the double finger. It's not happening anymore. We have to watch what information they're taking from us, all right? Crazy. Now, along those lines, there's a new browser that's coming out, and everyone was talking about, oh, this is going to be great. It's an ad-blocking browser. Well, not quite so fast. This ad-blocking Brave browser is really too good to be true. The promise was that they were going to remove the ads, but it turns out it puts its own better, quote-unquote, better ads in one of the places that it blocks. Oh, man. So, you know, you don't have to see these, but we're going to give you better ads based on our conditioning. So, bait and switch. Bait and switch. So, we're going to completely leave the privacy realm right now and talk about a little bit about Stephen Hawking. And this is over on universetoday.com, and, you know, the headline grabbed me because it said, Extinction Alert. Stephen Hawking says our technology might wipe us out. Well, you know, we've all worried about, you know, the Terminator thing, you know, becoming self-aware and, you know, and going after us. But there was a lecture he recently did, and they had a question and answer at the end of it. And he was asked to this audience question about humanity's capacity for self-destruction. Well, I think we all know, you know, humans are pretty reckless, but Hawking said that 1,000 years might be all we have until we meet our demise at the hands of our own scientific and technological advances. You know, there was people worried about, you know, some of the science projects going on, creating mini black holes and all this kind of crazy stuff. And we know that the Cold War and chemical weapons and all that stuff is, you know, very real in today's world. But, you know, it could be such things as a genetically engineered virus, could be AI that could do us in. So I think as we move forward and as our technology gets more advanced, you know, this warning that Stephen Hawking is giving us is probably one, as we're advancing, we should think about. I know that this topic has come up many, many times, and a lot of people have talked about it, but an interesting twist on his part. But anyway, of course, all these notes will be up in the show notes on geeknewscentral.com today. You guys know I'm a big aviation buff. Of course, most of you also know that I have a degree in professional aeronautics. Went to Emory-Riddle, got my bachelor's degree, finished that up after I retired from the Navy. So anytime I see stuff about safety concerns or stuff about new airplanes coming out, it's you know, it's one of those things where I'm kind of drawn to it like a magnet. But there was an article today in the Washington Post talking about more Air Force drones are crashing than ever as mysterious new problems emerge. And I was pretty shocked. You know, the number of total mishaps, where there was a severe military drone crash, peaked in 2011 by 26. But this year, last year, 2015, there were 24. Now, the way that the military classes their accidents is A, B, and C. And basically, A, class A mishaps are whether when the aircraft is destroyed or at least $2 million worth of damage. So in 2015, there was 24 Class A mishaps that were between the Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, Army. So this blew me away, 24. And, you know, there's probably a similar number to manned aircraft. You know, the Naval Aviation Safety Center, you know, they try to keep bringing the number down and been very successful. If you are a pilot in the, you know, 50s, 60s, and 70s, you know, you didn't have you had a very high chance of wrecking at least one aircraft. But, you know, now it's, you know, they try to keep the numbers down because it's, you know, damaging millions of dollars when an aircraft is lost. And they just, you know, airplanes don't grow on trees. So when they said there was 24, that blew me away. Apparently, the Reaper drone, which is a very popular Air Force aircraft, has had a series of electrical issues where they've just, you know, something shorted out and it's burned up in air and crashed. Now, if that was a manned aircraft, you know, there's usually a crewman there to pull a circuit breaker and at least maybe get the aircraft on the ground. But when it's a drone, that isn't always the case. But what really blew me away, since 2001, there's been 237 major U.S. military drone crashes that destroyed the aircraft, causing at least $2 million worth of damage. 66% involved either the Predator or the Reaper flown by the Air Force. And, you know, and it's obviously much cheaper to replace a drone than it is to replace a F-16 or F-A-18. You know, it's you can buy many drones for the price of one of those aircraft. But I guess it's keeping General Atomics in business. The San Diego facility must be busy replacing, but it was a really incredible number. So maybe Jack and some of the other aviation enthusiasts that listen to the show will like to read this. But, you know, I've always said that when we get into a shooting match with a adversary that is sophisticated, that has an air force, you know, drones are going to be being shot out of the sky left and right because they're very vulnerable, and it's easy to shoot a drone down without repercussions. You know, you shoot an aircraft down with a person in it, you know, that's United Nations stuff. You shoot a drone down with a person with no one in it, you know, that's just a hardware loss. So we'll see what happens here as things go forward. But really surprised they've had that many accidents. The folks at SpaceX, we talked, of course, on Monday about their successful launch. Of course, they had to crash on the on the barge, but they did a test this past November that basically, you know, the crewed capsule that'll be going to the International Space Station in a couple of years has already had its test where they deployed it, but they did a hover test. So this is basically what they're trying to do now is if they have to have the crew, oh no, this is on reentry. A normal reentries are coming down. They're going to, as they bring them in, they're going to slow the descent down at the very end. So let me show you guys this this video. So pretty cool little video where the, I'm going to do it in slow motion here. Don't dare this too long or YouTube will shut me down. basically they're testing the reentry and being able to stop the, you know, slow the spacecraft down before landing. So a pretty cool test. And, of course, Elon Musk is always wanting to share exciting stuff that's going on over there at SpaceX in a nice little video. They don't want to see the stuff that goes boom right away usually. It's always, there seems to be some sort of a camera glitch when that happens. For those of you that follow the European aerospace as well, the Airbus just delivered the first A320neo. It's basically its next gen 737 competitor. Of course, the A320 has been out for years, but Airbus has got 4,500 aircraft that they've got orders for. Of course, the 737 MAX has about 3,000 from Boeing as well. But looks like the folks there at Airbus have just a little bit of an edge on Boeing at this point. This next art I'll be just a little careful of. And there's an article over on Tech Dirt that talks about ESPN and ESPN being in the news today about the D decline in subscribers. You know, about once a week now, you see a legacy broadcaster take to the media to try and change the narrative around cord cutting. And usually this involves claiming that things are nowhere near as bad as the data kind of really truly shows. But according to TechDirt, ESPN president John Skipper plays offense on cord cutting. By effectively denying that ESPN is even in trouble, he starts by proudly insisting that the huge losses in subscribers, 7 million, weren't a surprise to the company. He said, "We stayed pretty calm. The loss of subscribers didn't come as a bolt out of the blue to us. We'd been thinking about this. We had a big town hall meeting in December. We had a priorities meeting earlier where we gathered everyone together to try to ground ourselves in our business." But according to some insiders, that wasn't the case. And the $21 million loss in stock value at Disney, which owns ESPN, was a bit of a hit. And considering that they lost 7 million subscribers because people are cutting the cord. But, you know, the one thing that's good for ESPN, for sure, is that their podcast audiences are huge. I don't think those numbers are going down. But so it is an interesting dilemma here. If ESPN's losing people, and, you know, I'm not a sports guy. And those of you that have followed this show for years know that I'm not. I consider my wife probably to be one of the luckiest wives on the planet because I don't watch NFL football Sunday or anything like that. So, I think we're going to see more of these trends where networks are starting to be affected. And I think ultimately what that's going to mean for all of us is that if we want a couple of sports channels, we're going to be able to get a couple maybe digitally without having to buy 20 at the same time. So I think the television industry is in for a big, big shakeup. And, you know, and I'll just share personally that about 90% of the new big business calls that I'm getting in the podcast space right now is coming from radio. I have radio execs and radio stations, and I'm not talking about Clearwire, or I'm not talking about Clear Channel, or talking about some of the biggies. I'm talking about radio network owners. They own 20 stations or 30 stations. Or I just talked to one overseas where they had kind of the equivalent of NPR, but in their country, and they had a little over 200. Programs. I don't know how many total channels they had, and they are embracing getting digital. And as a matter of fact, some of them are in a panic, and bringing people in. And it's a great time to be in the podcasting space from a consultant standpoint or a production standpoint because they're all looking for people. So it's an interesting time. There is, and I'm starting to see quicker. Is that the right word to use here? No, maybe faster trend by companies now that are like they're almost in a panic mode to go digital, and especially on the audio side. I mean, the handwriting is definitely on the wall. You know, you look at those of you that have kids, you look at what your kids are doing, how they're consuming media. You look how you're consuming media. You know what's going on for sure. Hey, just a little bit more on the storm here for the weekend. The folks at Android updated their weather app, I believe. So you definitely want to pay attention to weather.gov and Weather Underground and Dark Sky for the iPhone and iPad, Arceus Weather for the Android. Keep some plastic bags around if you need to weatherproof your device. Back up your data, all that stuff that's going on. So some good tips from ZDNet. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you tonight, those of you getting ready for the big big storm tomorrow. Over on sec.consult.com, it's a security blog. How many of you are familiar, if you work at a company and you have an AMX audio or video conferencing system? This product is used in a lot of businesses, government, military. They're used by private industry. Well, there's been a backdoor in this thing for a while. And the company has really not been very public about it. And it's there's been these security researchers that have been talking to them and trying to get them to respond. And they finally did yesterday. By the first time they've said anything about the problem is coming out with a patch. So just if you're at the office tomorrow and you're walking around and you look, and basically AMX is also Harman Professional. If you go into your conference room and you notice you've got some Harman equipment or AMX equipment, let your IT guy know that there's a patch out for those a lot of those products and services to close up this back door. And especially if you're having secure type of you know, conference calls with divisions, or if you're in government, this is probably something that they'll want to get patched pretty quick. It's been a while since we heard about the Ashley Madison shakeup and about their hack. But apparently there's a few people out there looking to make some money, and they are emailing or mailing actually via the post office blackmail threats. Essentially sending information to John Doe's and saying, "Hey, dude, I saw your information. If you don't want your wife to know, pay me $2,000 in bitcoins before this time, or I'm going to tell her." So a number of people have been getting these, and they've been getting them via the U.S. mail. And they've been actually saying, here was a person who bluffed me, and he, you can check with him on what I did when he didn't send me the cash. So someone who's out there blackmailing people that were using Ashley Madison. So using the U.S. Postal Service, well, I will say this about the U.S. Postal Service. They get pretty excited when there's those type of blackmail letters come in. And I don't think I would want to be the individual that was executing these, because when the postal inspector gets his eyes on a target, someone's going to jail. So we'll see how this all turns out. But if you want to see this letter, I'll have it up in the show notes for you, all right? Microsoft has just made Office apps far more powerful for the iPad, iPad Pro. Microsoft earlier this year promised many, or actually late last year, promised many of its newest and most powerful stylus-based features in Windows 10 Office and PowerPoint and OneNote would make it into other platforms, and as of today, they have. So the features all have some of the same perks as Windows Desktop, and mobile use of Office have enjoyed since last year, so this is available for those of you that are using Microsoft apps on your tablets, all right? So nice update by the Microsoft team. You know, you gotta love scientists. They're always pushing the envelope, and researchers are always looking for ways to do things faster, more efficient. But one of the challenges that we've had so far in the EV side on electric vehicles is the recharging. And you know that the drawback is it can take as much as 8 hours to fully charge one of their lithium-ion batteries. But Swiss researchers are saying that by increasing the electrical charge EVs, in other words, the amps going to it, that an EV could be potentially fully charged in about 15 minutes. But the EV stations have to be capable of putting out 4.5 megawatts. Now, if those of you that don't know what that really is equal to, but just imagine turning on 4,500 washing machines at the same time. That's the type of power that is needed to be able to charge a electric vehicle's battery in 15 minutes. Of course, I think there's other challenges too, overheating of the battery and all that stuff. But they've said that they're going to be able to build, and doing that on a power grid would be very difficult unless it was at a substation right there, all that stuff. But they say they can build like banks of stored power to be able to, as soon as they plug the car in to get it charged, they switch off basically city power, go to the bank, deliver this high voltage charge to the vehicle, get it in, get it out, and then have enough capacity to be able to serve about 200 vehicles a day, while at the same time being able to rapid charge the batteries in order to, you know, keep that equilibrium right and keep the grid from being blown out. You know, Tesla's tried to do some of this with their some of the supercharger stations by being able to charge a Tesla Model S in 30 minutes, giving it 170-mile range. But, you know, those are expensive to put in. Currently, they have about 600 supercharger stations with in the United States, with about 3,500 around the world total. And these, you know, Tesla's been proud of themselves to be able to do that, but they're using a lot of technology to make that happen in a big, serious power source to allow it. And as more people get EVs, this is going to become a bigger and bigger issue. Yeah, you know, think about the solar that's on my roof. And, you know, a typical family, the car's not in the driveway during the day. You know, I'm basically putting power back into the grid here and then running my meter the other way, the normal way, when I come home and it gets dark and burning off what I put in. But, you know, at some point, the battery technology will get such that I'll be filling batteries during the day and then running off my batteries at night, and, you know, having a very low profile on the grid itself. So it's an exciting time, and we'll see where it all goes for sure. Hey, California wants to ban encrypted phones. A bill in the state assembly would prevent companies like Apple from selling its encrypted-enabled iPhone on its own turf. So we'll see where this leads. But Apple's already said it cannot feasibly bypass a user's iPhone or iPad passcode, making it unable to respond to warrants for data stored. Of course, we talked about it in the last show. Boy, I got a few people upset at me for talking about Hillary. And, of course, there's been new stuff that's come out about her this week with her having SAP material on her server. Absolute insanity. That had been, you know, well, I don't know if I want to get into it too much, but I'll just say this. Having been prior military and having had a security clearance, and if you're given access to a SAP program, that's pretty serious stuff. And for that type of material to be, for better words, on an unsecure system, that's like immediate prosecution. For anyone else, it's immediate. I mean, you're like, don't stop and collect $200. Go straight to jail. So it's amazing. But anyway, I don't know how I got sidetracked here. But anyway, they want to make it illegal to encrypt phones in California. All right, imagine this. And this one, I think all of you would understand how this would be quite the nightmare. So let's say your phone gets stolen. All right, and you know, you load up the website, and all of a sudden you see your phone is in a residential neighborhood, in an Atlanta suburb, and it shows exactly where your stolen phone is. And so you get in the car and you drive over to this nice suburbia house, and you go knock on the door, and say, "Give me my phone back." Or you send the police over there to get your phone back. Or you send the police over there because that's where your teenage daughter is supposedly hanging out. Well, somehow in Atlanta, lost phones are constantly being tracked back to a single Atlanta home. They've had numerous instances where people have come to their house saying, "Give me my stolen phone back." And, police have actually came to the house looking for a teenager and a variety of different situations. And the owners are about beside themselves. And so Lee and this couple have wondered if their router has something to do with this. Both Apple and Google use separate databases for, you know, looking for MAC addresses, where the phone shows up and so forth. But, of course, the GPS location, but they've had a nightmare on their hands. People quite irate, obviously, come into their house saying, "You've got my phone," and they don't. But it doesn't sound like it's a daily occurrence, but this has happened enough to them that it's made a lot of the newswire today. So they're a little bit sick of it, but they don't know how really to stop it from happening. So anyway, we'll see how this goes. But it's pretty crazy, yeah, to think someone show up at your door and say, "Give me my phone back," and you don't have it. And it'd be pretty hard, you know, the way the tech is. They'd be like, the app says my phone's in your house, dude. Give me your phone. Give me my phone. You know, I don't know if I'd want to answer the door. You know, someone show up to your house with a weapon and like, give me my phone. And you'd be like, I don't have it. And he puts the gun in your face. You have my phone. Give me my phone. You know, it could get to that, right? If they don't own that house, I think I'd move. But what a nightmare. Absolute nightmare is when tech works against you, right? Tinder. Those of you that are younger and not married know what Tinder is. And if you're married and know what Tinder is, naughty, naughty, naughty. But Tinder has added an STD testing locator, ending a feud with a nonprofit. So apparently the folks at some organization was saying that Tinder was responsible for the rise in STDs. And Tinder, and they've been putting up billboards saying just that in both L.A. and New York. So Tinder, you know, basically kind of make nice that, okay, we'll put links to STD clinics in the app. So it's enough to make you go, The Hubble today, they released a picture that was, you know, how do we go from STDs to Hubble? I don't know. That's the way it was in the stack here. Hubble has captured a dazzling space image. NASA is calling it a luminous star cluster called Trumpler 14, which is located 8,000 light years away in the center of the Carina Nebula. And Trumpler 14 is one of 1,100 known open clusters in the Milky Way and is home to some of the brightest stars in the galaxy. And I will admit, it is simply breathtaking. I love these kinds of pictures because it gives me a chance to put something new on my desktop as a background image. And the researchers said that Trumpler 14 contains about 2,000 stars, whose sizes are from less than 1/10 to several tens of times the mass of our sun. So very, 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 very cool. It's pictures like this that it still shows you that Hubble is still cranking out amazing things. At the same time, NASA astronaut Scott Kelly is celebrating his 300th day in space. And he played ping pong today with basically a little bit of water. And a little science and a little ping pong at the same time. I'll let you guys play the video. It's a minute. It's kind of entertaining. And quite frankly, he looks like he is just bored out of his mind. You know, being in space is probably the coolest thing you could ever do, right? You get up there, you look down on Earth, and you're mesmerized, right? But about day 300, you're like, man, wouldn't a cheeseburger taste good? Or how about a hot, juicy steak straight off the grill? You know, you're up there in that sterile environment eating out of a plastic bag. And I know NASA tries to do well with the food. But, you know, I'm sure the astronauts talk about food a lot. Because, you know, when I was active duty and we post 9/11 and where I went, 70 days on MREs. And let me tell you something. When you draw the weenies out of the black bag, where it's kind of like a grab bag situation, and you end up with the Wheaties for dinner, you are so pissed off. It's like the worst thing that could happen in a day. But you know, you have to eat it because that's what you got. You know, and the MREs don't come with everything's the same in one box. It's a smorgasbord, you know, guess what you're going to get type of thing. But, you know, after about 300 days in space, he's playing water ping pong, and you're thinking to yourself, that dude needs a steak. At least that's what it appeared to me. So, anyway. Hey, AT&T will not join Tim Cook in fight against encryption backdoor legislation. So, interesting. Very interesting that they won't do. The CEO of this, I don't think it's Silicon Valley's decision to make about whether encryption is the right thing to do, Stephenson said. That's the CEO of AT&T in an interview with Wall Street Journal. I understand Apple CEO's Tim Cook's decision, but I don't think it's it's his decision to make. Ooh, that is just very candid, right? You know, AT&T's been criticized repeatedly for its cooperation with certain government agencies. And he says, well, my company's been singled out unfairly. Well, you know, you guys got busted hard, you know, in the early 2000s. You guys got slammed over there in AT&T. You guys were the subject of many a discussion here on this show in the early days of this podcast. And to say that he is not going to join in the fight against encryption makes you go, should I be doing business with AT&T? Of course, none of these networks are much better. But Verizon today has vowed to build the first 5G network in the United States. They say it's not going to be out to 2020, but they are going to start planning now. So, yes, by the time all of us are in our 80s, it'll be 22G is what the designation will be for the for the network. All right, six senators have accidentally just admitted they're clueless about internet speeds over on The Verge. You guys are going to love this. Love this. You know, the FCC set the new minimum broadband internet speeds from a measly 4 megs down, 1 meg up, to a more respectable 25 megs down, 3 megs up. They said that's the minimum of what should be classified as broadband internet. Well, some senators, reading the party lines of the internet service providers. So a letter today from Steve Daines, Republican of Minnesota, Rick Wicker, Republican of Mississippi, Roy Blunt, Republican of Missouri, Deb Fisher, Republican of Nebraska, Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, and Cory Gardner, Republican of Colorado, basically said, the senators say that the 25 meg standard is unnecessary because, for example, Netflix only recommends a download speed of 5 megs for HD video, and Amazon only needs 3.5 megs for video. Now, of course, they didn't read the rest of the part where the 4K video actually needs 25 megs, but I guess the lawmakers agree that nobody should enjoy HD, Ultra HD content yet. So this is where the talking points come from certain broadband providers. The senators say they are concerned that this arbitrary 25.3 benchmark fails to accurately capture what most Americans consider broadband. Yes, that sucks at 25.3, senators. It should be. We are... Who are we? Who are we? What country does this show originate from? The United States. It should be like 120 should be the minimum. Or 360. You know, let's make it something really reasonable. And more, you know, something we should really have. Instead of being ranked like 52nd or something in the world ranking of internet speeds. So, again, if these sound exactly like talking points, yes, they are from Verizon, Comcast, and other major ISPs that continue to tell Americans they don't need faster internet. And the ISPs have joined together every year to give some money to these congressional representatives to make sure that they watch their interest in D.C. with lobby cash so that the FCC is undermined in trying to set a reasonable broadband standard that we all should have. You look at what my mom has. My mom lives in the country. It's not a dirt road. It's paved. The closest broadband connection to her house is about 3 miles. And yet, she's forced to be on maybe 3 down, maybe 250K up on a good day. They also have a satellite connection that is highly limited. It's speedy, but it's very limited in total number of, you know, the bandwidth that they get. So we have Americans in this country that are still on absolute crap. You know, they're just a little bit better than dial-up. And they say that the 25.3 is too high. So if these folks are in your district, please give them a call. Give their office a call and give them a little bit of an education about what kind of broadband speed you would like and what you think should be minimal in your communities. All right. You know, I've always been a big fan, and I would say switching gears here, big fan of Malwarebytes. And I told you guys that's going to go long. This is going to be a long show. So we're just going to go long tonight, folks. But I got too much to share. It's too much fun to talk about. But Malwarebytes, a cybersecurity company, and I've used Malwarebytes on all my computers that will run it for many, many years. But Fidelity has invested $50 million in the 26-year-old cybersecurity startup. I love that. A 26-year startup. Isn't that beautiful? But congratulations to the folks over there. I'm glad to see them get the money. Malwarebytes is a great application. I should have covered this when I was talking about Verizon, talking smack about them earlier here. Verizon on Thursday posted slightly stronger than expected revenue and earnings, added an additional 1.5 million customers last quarter. The communication giant said it earned $5.5 billion or $1.32 a share on revenue. Now, check this out. They had gross of $34.2 billion with a net profit, again, of $5.5 billion. So those cell phone connections are adding up to lots of numbers. Uber has paid big money to become the official car to serve for Super Bowl 50. So if you are going to Super Bowl, so this is something they did at CES. They had both Uber and Lyft in the parking lot that is normally jam-packed. They reserved an area for Uber and Lyft cars. So as you walked out of the convention center, you just walked in the parking lot. And I don't know how they made the negotiation happen from, you know, knowing which car you got. But they had a staging area, and then they took people to their hotels or wherever they were going. It was fantastic for the people that were using it. But Uber's paid the Super Bowl committee $500,000 in cash to sponsor the Super Bowl host committee and get exclusivity over the event, so no other ride-sharing company will be allowed to offer its services to people heading to Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. Again, Uber will have designated pickup and drop-off zones at the stadium. Aside from having the peace of mind, I bet you the taxi companies are pissed if they're going to be excluded from that. I don't know if by law if they even can. Hey, by the way, I heard something today. This is an oh, by the way. If you don't have a Costco membership but still want to go shopping for liquor at their store, did you know that you can buy liquor at Costco without a membership card? I was told that today. It's some sort of federal law. And I know it works in Hawaii, but if you don't have a Costco membership and you want to buy a bottle of booze from them, you can go in and buy a bottle of booze from Costco without a Costco card. Just a, oh, by the way, just dawned on me. I don't know why. Maybe I'm ready for a cocktail. Who knows? Hey, today's the last day. Matter of fact, it's too late. If you haven't registered your drone, I haven't yet. It's another double barrel to Uncle Sam. I'm not registering my drone until February 19th. It is going to cost you $5 now to register, but I'm just doing a little bit of a minor silent protest, and I won't register my drone until the very last day. But here's the thing. Not registering your drone and making it and marking it with a registration number, and don't mark your registration number with crayon. Make sure you mark it in a way it can be seen, because if your drone crashes and they find it and it's not got your registration mark on it and they find out it's you, $27,500 could be the fine, all right? So just, you know, you can protest, but make sure you register by February 19th, okay? Hey, Amazon's offering refunds for all hoverboards. So if you bought a hoverboard for someone for Christmas and you're worried about that thing burning up, they will refund your money for all hoverboards. So just reach out to them. We talked a little bit on the last show about Apple and other companies repatriating cash back in the United States. And here's something new. The IRA, yes, in Ireland, the IRA formal political wing is taking aim at Apple over back tax. So Ireland's Republican Party, Sinn Féin, has, and if I just pronounce that wrong, I am sorry for the Irish. I apologize. So anyway, they have declared it has no intention of giving Apple any wiggle room over upcoming European ruling that could leave it liable for billions in back taxes. Ireland is getting ready to have an election, and starting its 100th anniversary commemoration of the Easter 1916 rising against the British rule. Some might suggest this will make an even more volatile period of politicking as usual, but one party says, "Oh, we're not gonna, the Provisional Party is one party saying we're gonna try to protect Apple, and the other party saying no, we want the money, which could account for like $8 billion, equivalent dollars, which is not a small amount of money, but you know, it's probably just a small little percentage of what they have in holdings offshore. Gizmodo's got a great article, "The Crazy Weapons that TSA Confiscated in 2015, and I'm not kidding you. When you see some of these pictures of stuff that they confiscated, matter of fact, I'll bring it up on the screen for those of you that are watching, and I'm thinking to myself, some people really wanted to go to jail. They really wanted to go to jail. Machetes, black powder, flashbangs, hand-to-hand combat with spikes, knives and stuff in shoes, canes with knives, of course, weed. People trying, you're going to the airport, you're going through security, you're going to take some weed with you. Probably not real smart to do that. That's probably earning a very quick trip to jail. You do know they have dogs at the airport. Someone's meat slicer, someone's carving knife that's about 3 foot long. Of course, mace and some weapons that I don't know what you use it for. Batman knives, throwing stars. What else? Stuff that looks like bombs. Something that's got TNT written on the outside and got hot wax closed that actually had bath salts in it. Oh, inert. Just imagine, hey, honey, I'm going to go to the airport. Can you make sure you put my inert grenade in my carry-on? Can you make sure that gets in there? Guns, ammunition. Oh, handguns? Oh, please. Lots of handguns. Oh, someone tried to check their dog and check luggage. But stupid is as stupid does. I'm looking at some of this stuff, and I'm just like, first of all, TSA really found it? They actually found this stuff? This stuff didn't get through security? If they found this stuff, imagine what they didn't find. You know, because they, what do we think TSA has? Do you think they maybe have let's give them a benefit of doubt. Let's say they found at least 25%. Let's just be really nice and say they found 25%. Based upon what I'm seeing in these pictures, many of us will just want, like, hey, I'll walk to California from Hawaii. Wow, crazy stuff. Absolutely crazy. Okay, a little more doom and gloom tonight. We talked about Stephen Hawking said that we've got, 1,000 years left before we are going to make ourselves extinct through technology. You know, we're going to have the alien, our AIs raise up against us. But it gets even better. There's a new study out. A new solution for the Fermi paradox suggests that alien life goes extinct early. And this new paper by the Australian National University of Astrobiologists points out that there may not be another possibility, that we've made it this far in evolution, right? And but it goes on to talk about what it takes to sustain that. And the theoretical study that they did doesn't give us a very good chance. you know, it could come from germs. It could be, you know, all kinds of things that could cause our habitation here to be spoiled, and all of a sudden us ending up, you know, returning to Earth. But anyway, I'll let you guys read this, and it's quite a bit of doom and gloom. So what is it with New Year predictions and stuff? Now, on a more serious note, and I'll be straight up here, there's a good article on Bloomberg Business talking about why doesn't Silicon Valley hire black coders. And this is, I read through this. This is an extensive article. And here's, I'm going to say this. If any of you have friends that are going to Howard University, that are getting a degree in computer science, that has programming skills, you have them call me. I'll hire them. You know, programmers are hard to get right now. Very, very difficult. And Silicon Valley may not want black coders, but I'll tell you straight up, I got a job for you in Columbus, Ohio. And you've got a job. Just send me your resume, and if you, you know, we'll put you to work. I don't get this. With the huge demand for folks that have computer science degrees and are capable programmers, why they're having such a hard time placing these graduates that are coming out of these schools and not getting into Silicon Valley. I don't get it. I really, really don't. If this article has a shred of truth to it, that, you know, there's a diversity problem in Silicon Valley, I'm going to tell you, there's a hell of a lot of jobs in middle America for programmers. And there should be no one that's coming out of college today with a computer science degree that has any smidgen of skills that should not be able to get a job that fast. You know, I'm looking for summer interns already, and interns end up becoming employees. I'll put this article from Bloomberg, and if any of you are business owners out there that are looking for programmers, and you know how hard they are to get, Howard University in Washington, it might be a great place to start looking for candidates to hire. All right, so I have that link up for you here. Okay, on Sploid.gizmodo.com, there's a very cool 3-minute video on a 7mm film project, or a basic 7mm camera, and how they work, and playing the high projection back. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to take a look at. Uber Gizmo's talking about how the Army is now starting to look at cyborg soldiers and being able to do implants. You know, DARPA is, you know, they got big brains over there at DARPA. And they're talking about being able to have neural connections with soldiers in the future. So what we've read about in sci-fi of having cyborg soldiers in the next 20 years could be a reality. And pretty crazy stuff here. You know, our soldiers are pretty connected now, but they're, you know, talking about embedding chips and stuff in us. I don't know how many of these guys are going to sign up for that, but I'm sure if it gives advantage on the battlefield, it could happen, but it's hard to believe we're talking about this in real life. Okay, what else? Last couple of articles here in the stack tonight. A little more thing on Uber. It's a good time to ride Uber as a customer, not be a driver because of the price wars going on. So keep that in mind as you move around cities. If you're one of our Australian listeners, Netflix is now actively blocking Australian users from getting access to United States content. So they're one of the countries that have been heavily hit by the Netflix blockade. And if you have an Android phone and want to know how much Google has made from Android so far, total revenue of $31 billion over its lifetime and $22 billion in profit. So it gives you a little idea here on what's going on. Now, I've got an email that I want to read. And please understand that when I talk about potential presidential candidates. And I talk about security violations, or I talk about stupid ideas of like trying to bring, make Apple to bring all their people back to the United States. I try to be an equal opportunity person when it comes to calling out some of this stuff. And I know this is sensitive to some of you, and maybe sometimes a little bit overly so. And I'm not going to read the person's name. I still love you as an audience member, but please understand, I do not spend my time watching Fox. Matter of fact, I peruse digitally CNN, Fox, MSNBC. I look at all of them. I don't spend time watching Fox. But one of our listeners said, Todd, first of all, wait a minute. Let me make sure this is the right one. Okay. And it's the subject of this. You must stop. First of all, see the CNN Steve Jobs show. I already knew about this, but Apple uses shell companies. No building, just addresses in Ireland. No, they have a headquarters in Ireland with lots of people to avoid all but the smallest amount of Irish taxes and avoid U.S. taxes. Also, the Apple manufacturing is primarily done in China. We know that. Where they pay very low wages to the workers and in the Apple plants, and where toxic materials from iPhones, etc., manufacturing not only sicken workers, but are also flushed into China's land and water. I think we all know that. A lot of companies are having manufacturing done in China. And they will continue to move to where the cheapest manufacturing is. And I understand that. Secondly, you seem to just watch Fox, and for your political inspirations, only read Rabbit Right Rags. You continue to rage against Hillary Clinton, even though you have always said you would not be political. If you never castigated Republicans for doing the same thing, of this privacy or secure communications. I think we talked about six Republicans tonight. My God, under Bush, Jr., a CIA operative, was outed by Dick Cheney, and Karl Rove caused who knows what harm to undercover agents placed in foreign countries who reported Valerie Wilson. Well, I don't think it was such a secret on her, but hey, I wasn't talking about not said a word, but I let your precious rants go, but I can no longer listen to your good tech stories while hoping that you do not again indulge in your infantile emotional snide marks about a Democrat. After all those years, I'm sorry, goodbye. So I lost a listener, but here's the thing. I also got to understand, I spent nearly 25 years in the military, had a security clearance the whole time, and if I had done what is being alleged that she has done, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be in a cell looking out through bars and not allowed to talk to anyone because that would be considered a security risk. If we can't acknowledge that someone has done, appears to have done wrong on this show, it's just the truth. And if you think this is just make-believe stuff that's happening right now, I think it's a fantasy that she hasn't committed a crime at this point. Let's just be straight about this. And I had no problem talking about Trump and his crazy talk the other day about having Apple come back. So let's be honest, I'm going to be an equal opportunity basher just like I am on Microsoft and Apple when people do stupid things. You know, I'm very sensitive about security in this country. You know, I've said on this show, much to the demise of some people that listen to the show, that I think Edward Snowden should be brought back and tried as a traitor for the harm that he caused. So, you know, that security to me is a very sensitive topic. And I don't care if they're running for office or not. They should be prosecuted for what is done. Because if you had done that, you would be in jail. You would not be having political cover put against you. So, and I understand it's all politics in the end. But if she is elected, we'll have the first president in history that doesn't qualify for security clearance. So that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Can't get your daily briefings if you can't get access to classified. So we'll see here what happens. But And I'm sure I'm pissing some people off, but I just had to respond to this. So I hope you come back, but let's, you know, let's not live in fantasy world. Let's talk about what's really happening in the world. All right. So I think that be that. All right. Was that it for stuff? And I got an email from Peter. He said, Todd, the Android Podcast Addict application on Google Play, there's a section to browse podcast networks. Suggest you ask them to include Geek News Central and other show feeds to be an easier find. Thanks for that, Peter. I do appreciate it. So anyway, I will I'll get off in here. And I know we have a lot of military people at this show. Matter of fact, we got a few people in Blab tonight. They're talking about it as well. And just the simple fact that of everything we've heard so far, you know, the rest of us would not get. You just watch the number of State Department people that are fired and prosecuted because they knew she was doing what she was doing and didn't report it. They're as guilty as the perpetrator that is doing the violation. You watch those people. They won't get political cover. They'll be fired and put in jail. Mark my words. All right. I'm going to get off in here before I lose any more of you. And again, we're not talking about politics. We're talking about actions of individuals. They're doing stupid things. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. @geeknews is the Twitter account. And if you still love me, I hope to see you back here on Monday. We'll try to put this behind us. And anyway. I love you all. We'll see you next time, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.